to the day many years ago when she'd been held by another Inquisitor, standing in the Lord Ruler's throne room. On that day, Marsh himself had saved her life. It seemed a twisted irony that she would struggle now, being strangled by him.
Not yet.
The mists began to swirl around her. Marsh started, though he continued to hold her. Vin drew upon the mists. It happened again. She didn't know how or why, but it just happened. She breathed the mists into her body as she had on that day so long ago when she'd killed the Lord Ruler. She somehow pulled them into her and used them to fuel her body with an incredible allomantic surge of power. And with that power, she pushed on Marsh's emotions. The wall inside of him cracked, then burst. For a moment, Vin felt a sense of vertigo. She saw things through Marsh's eyes. Indeed, she felt like she understood him, his love of destruction and his hatred of himself. And through him she caught a brief glimpse of something, a hateful, destructive thing that hid behind a mask of civility. Ruin was not the same thing as the mists. Marsh cried out, dropping her. Her strange burst of power dissipated, but it didn't matter, for Marsh fled out the window and pushed himself away through the mists. Vin picked herself up, coughing.
I did it. I drew upon the mists again. But why now? Why, after all the trying, did it happen now?
There was no time to consider it at the moment, not with the Koloss attacking. She turned to the baffled yeoman.
Continue to retreat into the city, she said. I'm going out to help.
Elend fought desperately, cutting down Koloss after Koloss. It was difficult, dangerous work even for him. These Koloss couldn't be controlled. No matter how he pushed or pulled on their emotions, he couldn't bring even one of them under his power. That only left fighting, and his men weren't prepared for battle. He'd forced them to abandon camp too quickly. A Koloss swung, its sword whooshing dangerously close to Ellen's head. He cursed, dropping a coin, and pushing himself backward through the air over his fighting men and back into camp. They'd managed to retreat back to the positioning of their original fortification, which meant that they had a small hill for defense and didn't have to fight in ash. A group of his coin shots, he had only 10, stood firing wave after wave of coins into the main bulk of the Koloss, and archers threw similar volleys. The main line of soldiers was supported by lurchers from behind, who would pull on Koloss weapons and throw them off balance, giving the regular men extra openings. Thugs ran around the perimeter in groups of 2 or 3, shoring up weak spots and acting as reserves. Even with all of that, they were in serious trouble. Ellen's army couldn't stand against so many Koloss any more easily than Fadrick's could have. Ellen landed in the middle of the half-disassembled camp, breathing heavily, covered in Koloss blood. Men yelled as they fought a short distance away, holding the camp perimeter with the help of Ellen's allomancers. The bulk of the Koloss army was still bunched around the northern section of camp, but Ellen couldn't pull his men back any farther toward Fadrick's without exposing them to Yeoman's archers. Ellen tried to catch his breath as a servant rushed up with a cup of water for him. Set sat a short distance away, directing the battle tactics. Ellen tossed aside the empty cup and moved over to the general, who sat at a small table. It held a map of the area, but hadn't been marked on. The Koloss were so close, the battle happening just yards away, that it wasn't really necessary to keep an abstract battle map.
Never did like having these things in the army, Set said as he downed a cup of water himself.
A servant moved over, leading a surgeon who pulled out a bandage to begin working on Ellen's arm, which, up until that moment, he hadn't noticed was bleeding.
Well, Set noted, at least we'll die in battle rather than of starvation.
Ellen snorted, picking up his sword again. The sky was nearly dark. They didn't have much time before. A figure landed on the table in front of Set.
Ellen, Vin said. Retreat to the city. Yeoman will let you in.
Ellen started.
Vin.
Then he smiled.
What took you so long?
I got delayed by an Inquisitor and a dark god, she said. Now hustle.
I'll go see if I can distract some of those Kolos.
Inquisitors had little chance of resisting Ruin. They had more spikes than any of his other hemallergic creations, and that put them completely under his domination. Yes, it would have taken a man of supreme will to resist Ruin even slightly while bearing the spikes of an Inquisitor.
66. Sazed tried not to think about how dark the ash was in the sky or how terrible the land looked.
I've been such a fool, he thought, riding in the saddle. Of all the times that the world needed something to believe in, this is it, and I wasn't there to give it to them.
He hurt from so much riding, yet he clung to the saddle, still somewhat amazed at the creature who ran beneath him. When Sazed had first decided to go with Tensun south, he had despaired at making the trip. Ash fell like the snows of a blizzard, and it had piled terribly high in most places. Sazed had known travel would be difficult, and he'd feared slowing Tensun, who could obviously travel far more quickly as a wolfhound. Tensun considered this concern, then had ordered a horse and a large hog to be brought to him. Tensun first ingested the hog to give himself extra mass, then molded his gel-like flesh around the horse to digest it as well. Within an hour, he'd formed his body into a replica of the horse, but one with enhanced muscles and weight, creating the enormous extra-strong marvel which Sazed now rode. They'd been running non-stop since then. Fortunately, Sazed had some wakefulness he'd stored in a metal mine a year ago, after the siege of Luthadel. He used this to keep himself from falling asleep. It still amazed him that Tensun could enhance a horse's body so well. It moved with ease through the thick ash, or a real horse, and certainly a human, would have balked at the difficulty.
Another thing I've been a fool about. These last few days I could have been interrogating Tensun about his powers. How much more is there that I don't know?
Despite his shame, however, Sazed felt something of peace within himself. If he'd continued to teach about religions after he'd stopped believing in them, then he would have been a true hypocrite. Tyndall had believed in giving people hope, even if one had to tell them lies to do so. That's the credit she had given to religion. Lies that made people feel better. Sazed couldn't have acted the same way. At least he couldn't have done so and remained the person he wanted to be. However, he now had hope. The Terrace religion was the one that had taught about the Hero of Ages in the first place. If any contained the truth, it would be this one.